Good evening.
Would you turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. Well, for those of you who are older, this sermon may bring back memories because I have used it once before. But I think it's maybe a new generation that I'm speaking to tonight, because it was quite some time back. And I'd been thinking about the content of it and the message of it off and on recently, and wondering how and when I could bring it back again. So for better or for worse, tonight is the night. But God's word is always good. 2 Kings chapter 6, reading from verse 1. And the sons of the prophets came unto Elisha and said, Behold now, the place where we dwell is too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Elisha, as you know, was the prophet that followed after Elijah. And Elisha, as he parted from Elijah, the Lord took him away in a remarkable, a miraculous way. Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And he was given Elijah's cloak as a proof that God had answered that. And that double spirit included the fact that he was allowed to perform through the Spirit of God twice as many miracles as Elijah had performed. And as I read this portion a long time ago, it was always a puzzle to me. Why waste a miracle on a silly old axe? And it took me a long time to find out the answer for that, and I don't know if I have, but God does not waste anything. Anything God does is for its purposes. And there are two things to consider here. There's the axe, and there's the young man. Both of these, in fact, all of them, were affected by this miracle. And the story is that there was a place that must have been something like a modern-day Bible school or something like that, where young men who were spiritually interested could go and be taught the Old Testament scriptures, and there weren't many of them by this time, but they could be taught by the prophets, who were themselves taught by God Himself through His Spirit. And there was evidently enough interest that wherever they were was getting overcrowded. And they got together and they had their spokesman who went up to Elisha and said, "Look, we're a bit overcrowded here. We'd like something better. And I've got a lot of respect for this man. And I'm assuming that he was typical of the other young men there. So often, in our day, the young men don't really want anything to do with the older men. They want to do their own thing. And they didn't get together here and say, okay, fellas, let's move on. If the older people want to do what they want to do, let us go and do what we think is best for our day and age." No, they felt the need of the presence, and the wisdom and the guidance of the older men. And these young men went and they asked permission from Elijah and says, "Now look, this is the problem we feel that we have. We'd like to go and do something better. We'd like a bigger building for the following reasons." And Elijah had no problem with that. He saw the difficulties that the young man foresaw, and he realized that he wasn't going to be about forever, and that they had a legitimate claim looking to the future when he wouldn't be there to be bothered with it. And he says, "All right, go ahead." And they said, "No. No, we don't want to do it that way. We want you to come with us." It reminds me of Moses, who said to the Lord, if you don't come with us, carry us not up hence." So Elijah was content and he said, "I will go." So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. So here we have these young people with a vision for the future, and they're out to serve the Lord. But serving the Lord sometimes has its problems. Sometimes there are things happen that are unexpected. So we find here the work progressing. And at some point in the building program that we find that a young man who, despite his spiritual abilities and his desire to serve his God, is now in difficulty. And what was his problem? He had lost his axe. So what, you may say, it was just an axe. But it wasn't just an axe. It was his axe. Now, did I say it was his axe? No, listen to the cry and the concern of the young man. "Alas, master, it was borrowed." He had lost the thing that had enabled him to serve his Lord. What could possibly be of any great import about the loss of an axe? Unfortunately, a great deal. first, he was now unable to do the work that was expected of him. He had pledged his support to the work of that group of God's people and taken all the necessary steps to equip himself for it. He had begun to work on the task he had been assigned. And while the work might not have started with a big splash, his usefulness ended with one. He could no longer do the work that was expected of him. Too bad, you may say. But he could no longer enjoy the benefits of participation in the Lord's work. Benefits, you ask, as you look at people who are struggling to keep up with the things that they're required to do. Benefits. Being in the Lord's work as he was able to endure the toils of the day because he knew he was doing it, not only for the Lord, but for the benefits of his and future generations. It may well be that he had thoughts of his son, perhaps yet unborn, attending the same school, and proudly pointing to his father's name carved on a beam that he had cut. "Come see where my father left his mark," he would say. You know, it often has a steadying influence on children to know that their parents are active in the Lord's work, and to know that they have a reputation to uphold and keep clean. He had the benefits of close companionship with his fellows. There's something special about the bond between people with a common aim and work. Now he has to stand aside, no longer having the ability to carry out the task at hand. Also, as a result of his loss, someone else had to do his share of the work as well as their own. This could result in one of two things. Either the work would be would proceed slower, or the quality of the work would suffer. His fellow workers were only human, and to do the work of another as well as the one of their own is not easy. The task would be burdensome and damage the quality of the work, having to do twice as much work. The loss of the axe also affected the owner of the axe. The owner had given the axe. He would lose the joy of seeing it used. We're not told from whom the young person received the axe. It would be safe in assuming that the lander was interested in the work of the Lord and wished to have a part in it. It would be a joy to that young person then to know that the axe was given, was being used in the glory of God. But its loss put an end to that, and its true owner lost his joy in the work. The young man would have to face the owner and give an account of his stewardship and explain its loss. The young man lost the personal benefit in his testimony to those associated with them. They no longer saw him active in it. To be a bystander when there is work to be done makes one feel out of it, so to speak, and often leads to feelings of inferiority. Uselessness which God never intended us to have. Sometimes leads to a further withdrawal from service. You know, the people around us watch us, and they see our activities, and they know we go to church. They know we have certain standards. But all of a sudden, if that activity ceases, they begin to wonder. They realize that there's something wrong with us. We no longer witness to them. We no longer are friendly the way we once were. And they realize that there is something amiss. This is what happened to this young man. The parallel between the young man and ourselves is obvious when we consider the fact that God has given each one of us at least one gift for the building up of our fellow believers in the Church of God. Its loss results in the very same thing for us and our fellowship and for our Lord, as did the loss of the axe head. Look at them again. And I ask you, did you feel sorry for that young man as he watched his axe disappear out of sight and realized he had to give account to its real owner? I did, until I recall that nobody can use an axe and not know that the head is loose. That young man, for reasons we will never know, had failed to keep the axe in working condition. And even although he continued to work, and no doubt harder as the efficiency of the axe had declined, yet he found himself at the end no longer able for the task before him. So it is with us. God expects us to maintain the gift he has given us, and it takes constant vigilance or we will lose it. Both Peter and Paul speak of stirring up the gift that is in you, like stirring up the embers of a fire to get it blazing again. It's taking a renewed interest in the things of the Lord. So this young man found himself in a position he never anticipated. Oh, he knew the axe wasn't as good as it used to be. Perhaps he blamed the axe. But he must have known that there was something wrong, and he didn't get it corrected. And so you and I, as soon as we feel something wrong in our spiritual state, we have a responsibility to do something about it. What did the young man do? The young man holds the answer, I think. Now fully aware of the consequences of his actions. He went immediately to the man of God for help in time of need. Man of God in these days would be the contact with God. And so we must find our way back to God and ask Him for help and recovery. First question the man of God asks is, where did you lose it? It's just the same with us. Chinese have a prophet, have a saying, look for it where you lost it. You'll find it there. If that gift that God has given us is lost, then we must look for it where we lost it. We must go back in our life with the help of God and find out what it was that led to our loss. It won't be difficult because we probably knew at the time that we were losing it. We were losing our grip on the gift that God had given us. Or that things seemed to have lost their edge. We were having to work much harder at doing what God asked us to do. Or we had a sense that there's just something wrong. So Elisha comes, and having heard from the man where the axe was lost, King James says that he cut down a branch. But the actual meaning of the words used is that he made a new handle for the axe. It wasn't just any old branch. The axe needed a new handle. And the proper interpretation is that he fastened a new helve for the axe. The new handle cast it into the water where it was lost, and the head and the axe are united together, and their usefulness is restored. God is quite willing to do that. He's quite willing to bring us back together with the gift that He's given us. But we have to go to Him and ask Him to do that. And we don't know the methods that He will use, but here's one that is completely miraculous, and if God can do it under these conditions, He can do it under the conditions that you and I are struggling with. But that wasn't enough. The young man is instructed to pick it up, and that he gratefully does. God is not going to just do all the work Himself. He wants to know that you really want it. And so God will provide the means by which you and your gift can be restored to usefulness again. But you'll have to do it. You're the one who'll have to go and ask for it. And you're the one who'll have to pick it up and get back to work again. Alas, Master, it was borrowed. And so this young man could now go back to the one who gave him the gift when the work was finished and tell him about the glories of the building that he had been allowed to work in. The master no doubt knew that there was something wrong when his axe came back. He had a new handle. He may have asked, he may not have asked, he may have known. But this young man, his past failures were forgotten, forgiven. And everything that he had expected out of the work that he was going to do for the Lord was restored to him and his future generations. Read in Ephesians chapter 4 that every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What was the value of an old axe? What was the value of the gift that you had? If you feel that it's getting a little bit loose, disconnected, a little bit blunt, then this story of Elisha, who used one of the 14 miracles that he was going to have to restore an ordinary axe to a young man to renew his service. And then we know that God is willing to do that with each one of us. So may the Lord bless these words to you, especially the young people. But the older people know it as well, because they've had more time to need an axe renewed more often. Thank you. I'll give it back to Guy.